Following is a one-minute introduction, which will be followed by the treatment. This is a one-minute introduction to the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, the related website, and methods of communication. The website is mbeinstitute.org. To find out about the founding of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, which was founded in 1988 by William and Helen Wright, please navigate to the menu, which is in the top left corner of every page, and select About, which is near the bottom of the menu. If you would like to contact us in a private, secure manner, please send a message, which is obtained from clicking on the Contact button, which is next to the About selection at the bottom area of the menu. This is the end of the introduction. The extemporaneous prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute follows. The topic for this extemporaneous prayer treatment is Diapason of Heaven, with a focus on the first term for God in the days of creation order, which is mind. Noah Webster defines diapason as a compound concord. Based on this definition, all existence is a manifestation, which is a diapason of heaven. For that's the only reality that exists. Anything that appears to be a conflict is not reality, but is defined by Mary Baker Eddy as unreal. Mary Baker Eddy encourages us to resolve any supposed conflict on an ongoing basis. Never let it be a passive activity. It needs to be active until it is resolved, which really means to expose the evil, not the individual, but the evil, see its nothingness, because in fact it is not a manifestation of God. And God is the only manifester, because God is the only source. So anything that appears to be a conflict certainly did not come from the one and only omni-intelligent, omni-wise, omni-knowing God. God is the only power. God is the only presence. God is the only action. So therefore, there cannot be any action that is real that creates conflict or a supposed mesmerism of conflict. For conflict is not real. It is anything less than God. And anything less than God is unreal. Everything less than God is unreal. Anything less than 100% perfect is unreal. Anything that is less than a compound concord is unreal. If we recognize that at the onset of a supposed appearance, then we will be attacking it when it is the easiest to expose and dissolve. For if it is left alone, it will grow and become more complex and more entrenched in the universe of thought, which then is trying to subject everyone that is passive in their thought to its mandate. Mary Baker Eddy stresses the importance of basing our life on truth, and she provides a quote from Jesus as the very first words in the textbook following the title page. She states, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Those are the words of Jesus recorded by John in the Gospel of John. Being the very first written words by Mary Baker Eddy in the textbook is a strong message that is the most important thing that should be our focus. Einstein says, "Curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning." If we follow the first quote that says, "Ye shall know the truth," then we will never stop questioning anything that appears to confirm that it is either truth or it is unreal. We cannot understand truth, and it says, "Ye shall know the truth," which means understand. We cannot understand truth about anything unless we have researched it to make sure that the cause is God, that is the source. And if it is, then we're on the right path, which Mary Baker Eddy defines as infinite progression, leading to concrete being. We should not be celebrating a success, but we should be focusing on staying on the path of continuous progress. She terms it infinite. Infinite progression is concrete being. We will be made free of anything that is not truth. The belief that there is life, truth, and intelligence in matter is the universal belief that tries to separate God and man, when in fact, Genesis 1 tells us very clearly in verse 26 to let man be made in the image and likeness of God. Are we going to let our consciousness accept that fact about God and man? Genesis 1, verse 26 tells us we have to let. And after that, it then says that God made man in his image and likeness. If we're going to focus in this prayer treatment on mind as a diapason of heaven, we must recognize that mind is the beginning. That is where the light first appears. In Genesis, in the first day of creation, chapter 1, it makes it very clear that light comes before anything else. It doesn't come from the sun or anything else in the sky. It is from mind, because mind is first. It's apodictical. There's nothing ahead of it. In the definition of God on page 465, which is chapter 14, which is recapitulation, which in definition means it is the summary of all prior. So it is the summary of chapters 1 through 13. And she states on page 465 in the very first definition of the chapter, which again tells us it's the most important thing that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. In the key to the scriptures, which begins with chapter 15 and includes the glossary, which is chapter 17, she states on page 587 that God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. In the second definition in the glossary, she is giving us an emphasis on a few different terms. In the first one, in the recapitulation, she emphasizes the terms incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. And in the second one, she is emphasizing the great I Am. Moses was the first one that heard the terms in Revelation. In other words, revealed to him that God is I Am that I Am. How often we use the words I Am referring to a human activity or a human characteristic. I am this, I am that. I am doing this, I'm doing that. I'm thinking this. I'm contemplating this. Since God is the one that was revealed to be the only I Am, that means there is no action taking place unless it is from God. So when we use the term I Am, we should be using it in terms of our reflection of some goodness that we are reflecting of God. Mary Baker Eddy states that the only power obtainable is the good we do and embody. In the glossary on that same page, 587, it defines good as God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. Everything revolves around the one and only source. That is God. God is the only source that exists. Our sole duty in life is to be sure that all thought, speech, and action is in alignment with God. Jesus said, when someone addressed him as good master, he said, "Why call thou me good? There's only one good, and that is God." Anything at all that is a good action that is recognized, the credit must be given to God. Because God is the only source. And what is God? Not a personality. God is qualities. Qualities. That's all that exists. or qualities? One of the most brilliant Christian Science practitioners of all time, next to Mary Baker Eddy, is Frederick L. Rassen. He said our purpose in our entire life is to be making other people happy. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment of all? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Isn't that what we do when we love our neighbor as ourself? We make them happy. On the website, which is mbeinstitute.org, in the menu under topics, it provides the words and their opposites that define the words that represent God. And under mind, there are 61 different words that are used by Mary Baker Eddy to define the word mind representing God, which means it's capitalized. A few of the ones that stand out are action, all, ability. We've discussed about action, if it's not a good action, if there's any conflict in the action, it's not a real action because it's not from God. God is divine principle. Divine principle includes the qualities of harmony and balance. So if it's not harmonious and not balanced, then it's the opposite of divine principle, which is chaos. It is not system and structure, which is what mind sees as the truth about divine principle. It is brought out on a regular basis in these prayer treatments that we must consider the big picture. A professor walked into his class, hung up a big white sheet across the viewing area, had a little black dot in the middle. He said, what do you see? They all thought he was crazy. Oh, we see a big white sheet. What do you want us to see? He said, look carefully. They finally realized there was a black dot. Oh, now we know what you want us to see. You want us to focus on that black dot. His response was, you need to be guided by the big picture, but don't neglect the little black dot, because you have to take care of any problem that arises, but you don't let that control your every activity. You consider it in the perspective of the big picture. The big picture, when we read, should be understanding what we are reading and how it fits into the big picture. In the definition of God that was recited on page 587, where Mary Baker Eddy states that God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving and eternal. Think about the sequence. The great I Am. So number one is God. That's what great means. And I Am means the only one that is capable of being the center and the circumference is infinity, but God is the center of everything. Without God, there is nothing. So after you realize those two things, then what does she say to focus on in terms of the sequence of activities? All knowing. That's the first thing you have to think about. You cannot see the truth unless you understand the difference between truth and error, perfection and imperfection. So the first thing we do is we understand. Then we can see, and we can't see, we can't understand what we're seeing, because seeing means discernment, which means we're separating the difference between two different things. We are identifying one thing from another. And in the system of divine metaphysics, which is what Christian Science is all about, because she states on page 146 that divine metaphysics has been reduced to a system. And on page 330, she says, if you understand the 32 planks, and they're covered between page 330 and 340, she said, if you understand the 32 planks and live the letter and the spirit, then you will be able to demonstrate divine metaphysics, which means heal anything that you're faced with. The letter and the spirit. See, you have to know how truth operates and its opposite, how evil operates, so that you can expose it and eradicate it. And you have to have the atmosphere of love. That's the spirit, the atmosphere of love. In everything you do, from mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth, you have to have the atmosphere of love in every activity. So, God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. And God is also the great I Am, the all-knowing, all-seeing. And what happens after you see, which means discern truth from error, then and only then can you take action. If you're intelligent, you're not going to take action until you understand what's already been explained in the previous words. All knowing, all seeing, all acting, and then you can do it with wisdom. All wise, all loving, as mentioned, that's the atmosphere, eternal. In other words, you can keep repeating it because the truth can be multiplied if you live it. You reflect it from God and you multiply it out into the universe of thought. And then it's multiplied within the universe of thought by all those who are receptive to it. All one has to do in order to capture something, or rather reflect something from the universe of thought, is to be open to it. Like it said in Genesis chapter 1, let us be made in the image and likeness of God. We have to open our consciousness. As mentioned many times in these prayer treatments, one of the popular pictures of an image of Jesus is him knocking at a door. That's the door of our consciousness. Are we going to open it? Are we going to let the Christ thought enter and be our guide? Are we going to let that be our motive in all thought, speech, and action? And then she goes through the synonymous terms on 587. So the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal. In other words, doing it constantly, continuously. And then she mentions, first of all, principle. And it seems that she mentions that because that is the structure and the system that is the foundation of everything else. And then what happens? Well, we have to have the light, principle mind. The light. That's the first thing in Genesis, in the first day of creation, is the light. Doesn't come from the sun or any stars or anything else. It comes from mind. So, principle, mind, and then soul. Soul is how we identify everything. That is utilizing the senses of seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling from a spiritual basis. In the Blue Book, which is a compilation by Richard Oakes of quotations and wisdom from Mary Baker Eddy that was unpublished in her other writings, on page 222, it states what Mary Baker Eddy's quick explanation is of the spiritual senses, the five spiritual senses. All you have to do is go on our website and click on Features and Topics and scroll down to where Mary Baker Eddy is, and it will show right there the five spiritual senses. And from pages 222 to 225, 227, excuse me, from 222 to 227, it gives the details about the phrases that Mary Baker Eddy uses for the five spiritual senses. So we are going to recognize the principle, mind, soul, the identity, and then we have to make sure that we are utilizing spirit as our substance. And then life, truth, and love. Life is living the qualities of God. Truth is making sure we stay on track, making sure our motive is pure, and that our thought, speech, and action is an outgrowth of a pure motive. And then love is the compilation of having understood adequately the other six synonymous terms. Only if we understand them can we apply love to them. Because we can't nurture something that we don't understand. If we don't understand the value of something, we're going to be passive about it. We're going to be cowardly about it. Unless we remember what Einstein instructs us to do, and that is to never stop questioning. I already mentioned the definition of good. Many other definitions in the glossary are of value. Man, it says, is the full expression of spirit, the compound idea of God. We need to know what evil is. There are 144 definitions in the glossary if you understand how they are defined. And the most advanced individual, and the only one that we are aware of that discovered how to count the number of definitions, is Rolf Witzke, W-I-T-Z-S-C-H-E, Witzke. He's an author under authors. He was the most advanced in understanding the system of divine metaphysics, the most comprehensive and the most accurate. in our humble opinion, far above and beyond anything that had ever been developed previous. Mary Baker Eddy said it would be 50 years before anyone could uncover the system. And that's just about exactly perfect in her estimation. Because John Dorley was the one that broke the ice on it, but then he didn't go far enough. Bicknell Young, who raised himself from the dead, he had the belief of being drowned. He's the first one, and he was back in Mary Baker Eddy's era. He was the first one that realized what she really said when she said there's only one mind. He realized that if there's only one mind, then a human mind is worthless. It's made up of brain, blood, bones, and other material elements. That's what the human mind sees as being real. And what it is what one sees. What we are is what we see. So the brain is made up of so-called material elements. And therefore that's what it sees. And therefore it's finite. It doesn't even have a concept of the infinite. Any concept of the infinite that we're able to be revealed to and understand and receive the message, that is a divine source. A human source cannot even conceive of anything being infinite, only finite. Mary Baker Eddy said the only way Jesus was able to attain such a divine characteristic to be able to resurrect and then ascend was because he had mastered the human life. He was able to overcome every problem of the human life. So his divinity enabled overcoming the humanity, and the humanity being overcome, then he was able to demonstrate the fullness of the divinity, which of course was the ascension. But then he came back and visited on the island of Patmos, John, and dictated the book of Revelation. Because John was ready for it. The only disciple that showed up at the crucifixion. He had overcome the fear and belief of a pot of boiling oil. They tried to kill him. Didn't work. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Didn't work. Just like Daniel in the lion's den. Didn't work. There have been many efforts to destroy anyone that reveals the truth. Copernicus had a terrible time. Socrates. The truth is not welcomed by mortal mind. It's stuck on a lie. People label it as born in sin. On the website, Mary Baker Eddy Institute website, which is mbeinstitute.org, the prayer treatments give you specific instructions teaching you the system of divine metaphysics. And we have a button in the menu called Heal Everything. And that gives you step-by-step instructions on how you can heal anything you're faced with. We teach you how to create your own prayer treatments. When you listen carefully to the Diapason of Heaven treatments by Mary Baker Eddy, you will understand the system and the structure that she uses. Every truth can be said in reverse. For example, if you say God is mind, and that is truth, talking, you can say mind is God. If you say God is love, you can legitimately state that love is God. If you say love is good, you can say that good is love. It is suggested that you work on the lower three levels, and on page 115 and 116 it explains the four levels, because you have to be dealing with the lower levels in order to be able to elevate to the highest level, which is immortal mind. It's like going up and down a set of stairs. We go out from immortal mind, which is the level of God, and man being the idea of God. But then we have to go down the stairs to expose the evil that is presenting itself to try to throw us off track in our daily life. We can't just stay up in a spiritual thought without getting rid of the problem. Frederick L. Rawson recommends making a very simple statement that whatever the ailment is, you preface it with the word or the phrase, there is, and then whatever, no, something, or not. You know, there is no, or there is not, whatever it is that seems to be the claim. We must remember that many claims have a source which is different from what is the appearance. For example, old age has several maladies that are attached to it. So if we are dealing with any of those, we need to go to the root, which is the belief of old age. I was sitting next to a lady that was two or three times older than I was in a church one time many years ago. And I noticed that she was singing the hymns from the hymnal, holding the hymn book at the normal distance for an individual that would have 20/20 vision. When I commented to her about it, how wonderful it was, she made one short statement. I keep after it. When one of Mary Baker Eddy's students inquired to her about assistance in trying to heal vision, Mary Baker Eddy said, are you able to focus no matter what comes your way? In other words, is she paying attention to the words of Jesus that is the very first statement at the beginning of Science and Health? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Are we focusing on the truth? Are we denying that any error can be real, that it can have any power over God's idea, and that we reflect the perfection of God? That by definition means that we are not accepting anything that is less than perfect as being real and therefore not a part of us individually or anyone. We have to always focus on the idea and not a personality. In all the words that Frederick L. Rawson uses in his book, Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, in which he enumerates 1,315 different ailments and the precise truth that should be worked with in order to heal, he does not mention about me or any kind of a personality. He always talks about man and God. Man being the spiritual man, the true reflection of God. And what does Genesis do? Genesis refers to man. And let us make man in our image and likeness. And God therefore made man in his image and likeness. It's the same concept Jesus used in all of his parables. 41 parables. He didn't talk about a man that was in a personality. He talked in a generic manner in every one of the parables. He didn't teach personality. He taught awakening to the truth about individuality. There was a reflection of God, as stated in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, that we've been discussing. Mary Baker Eddy stresses the importance of utilizing moments. She says the difference between success and failure is often how we use our moments. Most people waste moments. Millions of them a day. We don't want to compare ourselves to anyone else. What we want to do is we want to focus on perfection and strive for perfection. Just like the coach of a girls' team in high school, they had lost every track meet the prior year. And she was hired to come in and revolutionize everything. They hired the right individual, but they didn't understand what truth was. Because she worked on building up their endurance, their strength. And so she would give them a very slow speed to run and make sure they memorized what it felt like to be running at that speed. So they had to master that speed before she would let them run any faster. Because she was building up their endurance, their strength. And as she did that, she basically followed the quote from Isaiah, which Mary Baker Eddy uses as the introductory quote to Recapitulation chapter 14. Isaiah states, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. It's like the race between the turtle and the rabbit. The rabbit took off like wildfire, almost immediately exhausted himself and laid down to rest, ended up going to sleep by the side of the path. In the meantime, the turtle crosses the finish line. It's not whether we win or lose, it's how we run the race. Because we want to be on the path of infinite progression which leads to concrete being. So we need to focus on the foundation. That's exactly why Mary Baker Eddy gives us, as the very first most important thing in the recapitulation chapter, which is a summary of the first 13 chapters, she provides the definition of God. Because God is the foundation. Understanding what God is the very first thing. And what is the first chapter in the textbook? Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. It is the chapter on prayer. If we don't understand the proper concept of prayer, then we cannot get to the second chapter, which is on atonement, aligning our thought with the Christ. And each chapter in the textbook is in a very specific sequence. Someone who did an analysis of the sequence of the chapters and their primary purpose, their primary theme, was an excellent Christian Scientist by the name of John L. Morgan. And we provide to you on the website what he saw as the theme of the entire textbook, and then he broke it down into chapters. We provide that to you chapter by chapter so that if you're going to study anything, even a verse out of a chapter, we suggest that you read what he says about the theme of that chapter. And of course, Mary Baker Eddy gives us a very big clue because she provides an introductory quote, at least one, sometimes more than one, to each chapter. And of course, the three introductory quotes to the whole textbook. The second one is a quotation from Shakespeare. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So if we're going to pay attention to the first quote, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The second one is reminding us what we have to feed into our consciousness so that we will be able to recognize the truth, and we will be able to cultivate, mother it, by nurturing it. And a third quote is by Mary Baker G. Eddy. Later she dropped the G, thinking her name was too long. And the third quote by her is, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. That is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." How does God hear our prayer? The answer is, he does not. God doesn't have a set of human ears. God is. Everything that is real, God is. As Einstein stated, everything that is in this book. And he prefaced that by saying, blessed art thou, thou being a capital T, reminding us of just the significance of what Mary Baker Eddy discovered. Blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book. And he said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. So that means it must have been around 1946 that he made that statement, because she discovered Christian Science in 1866. And he also said that Christian Science works, in other words, it heals, if we follow it systematically and scientifically. He made the statement that science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind. So obviously he recognized that Christian Science was both science and religion. The religion being the greatest one of all time, which is the religion of Christianity. And science being the structure and system to which she refers on page 146, when she said, as recited previously, that divine metaphysics has now been reduced to a system. But she told Laura Sargent that I've hit it and hit it and hit it. That's HID. And if I hide it any further, no one will ever find it. And then she said it would take 50 years before the system would be discovered. Jesus said, I have more to tell, but you're not ready for it. In other words, they would not be receptive to the truth. Why was Jesus crucified? They were fearful that he was predicting the end of civilization. And this is all explained in the third chapter of the textbook entitled Marriage. And I'll leave it up to you to read it. Very, very important message. There are not one in 100 million people, in fact, probably one in 1 billion people, that understand truly why he was crucified. There were several things to accomplish through that experience, but the reason it came about boils down to basically one very important concept. You are encouraged to study the diapason of heaven for each of the seven terms for God that Mary Baker Eddy gifted by stating the words, and she only gave it to her class, who was hand-picked, her final class in 1898, and they were advanced to the level that after 3 days of instruction, she gave them an assignment to go out and bring forth a healing that was through their efforts of what they had learned in the first 3 days. You are encouraged, again, to study everything you can learn about those Diapason of Heaven treatments by Mary Baker Eddy, and then create your own. You cannot get anywhere by just stealing an idea from someone else. And that's what you would be doing, is if all you did was repeat them in a passive manner. she says to declare often. But she's talking about the ideas that are within the treatments, not just parroting them. We have to make everything that we study in the system of divine metaphysics to be our own. And if you click on the button that says heal everything, as mentioned previously, we give you the step-by-step instructions on how to transform your life at whatever level it is right now to a level that is defined only by you and your effort that you put forth. The Bible says to tithe, which means a tenth part. We tell you as one of the very first instructions, you have to be praying like Mary Baker Eddy did. She prayed every hour just to make sure that her thought was in line with the Christ consciousness and that she was not finding fault or condemning anyone for anything. To remind her that she should get her thought off of personality, if it was on personality, and focus only on the true idea of God, on qualities, not on personality. She did that every hour that she was awake. You can do that in 2 or 3 minutes. You can start off by reciting one of the diapason of heaven until you feel that you can create your own diapason of heaven. And our entire life should be a diapason of heaven, which means compounding concord, not discord, not repeating the lie about a material sense of birth, and accepting, yeah, we were born a sinner, so we're going to go through this life of materiality, going to have some growth, it's going to peak out, then we're going to expire. That's a lie. And we have to refute it. Another excellent Christian Science practitioner, Wentworth Winslow. He said, imagine yourself in a room with a phone and a radio. The phone is ringing its head off, trying to get your attention to mesmerize you about how good it is to let evil control you. It offers you this pleasure and that pleasure. It tries to let you know that you should be making a deal with the devil. The other thing in the room is the radio that is tuned into station KOG. It is only announcing the qualities of God, talking about heaven, kingdom of God. Mr. Winslow raised a boy from the dead. He was not expected to live, Mr. Winslow, as a young man. He went the path of the prodigal son. He grew up in a family with money and success, and they had a path outlined for him that they could have, that where he could have followed in the pathway of the family. He took another path. Almost lost his life. He was healed through Christian Science, and he became one of the finest practitioners. Joel Goldsmith. after he had become a practitioner, he was called by one of his patients to come to the Benevolent Association, which is a nursing home in the Boston area. And they had a need for him to heal. And when he arrived, the receptionist said, "You don't want to go in there." He said, "Why not?" She said, "Everyone is ill with the same contagious disease." He said, "How many people do you have here?" She told him, "I don't know, it was probably 200 or 300. He said, "You only have one problem here. You don't have 200 or 300. You have one." He sat down in the lobby and spent a few minutes of quiet time. And we can only imagine what he was thinking. The same kind of things we've been talking about in this prayer treatment. And after a few minutes, the nurses that were tending to all the patients started walking out. Came into the reception room and they said, "What happened?" She said, "Everybody's healed at the same time. How did this happen?" Joel Goldsmith knew. It was the power of truth. Nothing can overcome the power of truth. Truth is the healer in every situation. Mind is the medicine. And we're reminded by Shakespeare how to apply the medicine. And we're reminded by Einstein to never stop questioning until we get to the truth. And then we probably ought to continue on to make sure we're not making a mistake. The textbook gives us the entire statement of truth, as Mary Baker Eddy said. But she did not copyright the textbook, its final edition, because she wanted it to be open for further exploration. In the publication Christ in Christmas, which basically is a statement of Christian Science, in a poem with illustrations, the final illustration is blank, telling us that it's open for us to develop in our own consciousness and share it with the world. And that's exactly what Rolf Witzke did. He took the system of divine metaphysics and developed it into new dimensions above anything anyone else had dreamed of. He figured out why there were 144 lights in the ceiling of the original Mother Church, which tie in exactly with the number of definitions in the glossary, if you know how to count them. The gift that has been given to mankind in the textbook of Christian Science is beyond vocabulary. I shall end this treatment by reading one of the seven diapason of heaven that Mary Baker Eddy gave to her class, as mentioned, the most advanced class. And everyone was handpicked to be able to get into the class. And at the end of the class, whoever was able to stick with it were given the degree of CSD, Doctorate of Christian Science, the same as those who lived with her. How many loyal students did Mary Baker Eddy have? The day she passed on, and the board of directors of the church instructed the people that lived with her to not mention anything about their experience with her. Don't write anything. Don't even mention her name. In fact, they commanded all these people that were writing books. Wentworth Winslow wrote 122 articles, I believe it was, in four books. Each one of them had the name God in it. And he gives the sequence by the titles to the book of what our consciousness has to go through to advance along that path of infinite progression. Joel Goldsmith, an avid writer about his experiences and how to develop your spiritual consciousness. And I already mentioned Mr. Rawson, who, by the way, discovered how to treat back in time. So he was able to master time. The only one that was ever able to do that, that we're aware of. He teaches you how to do it. Everything's on the website. The website is free for personal use. Commercial use is forbidden without our written authorization. It's not designed for commercial use. It's designed for personal use, for personal development, for personal transformation from wherever you are, as mentioned, to a higher level that only you define. Because the possibilities are infinite. So you're the one that has to define the finiteness of where you want to cap your vision. I shall now read one of the diapasons of heaven that Mary Baker Eddy left, which we can utilize and as a foundation to develop our own. Here it is. And this will be the finale of this prayer treatment on the topic of diapason of heaven with a focus on mind. Since the focus for this prayer treatment has been on mind, I shall read to you the diapason of heaven for mind. The first part of it is from Miscellaneous Writings, which she repeated on page 206 for everyone to benefit from. The real Christian Scientist is constantly accentuating harmony in word and deed. Mentally and orally, perpetually repeating this diapason of heaven. Good is my God, and my God is good. Love is my God, and my God is love. She continues, we can declare often, divine mind is my mind, and my mind is God. God is my mind, and my mind is good. I have an intelligent mind, a good mind, a wise, perceptive, discerning mind, a clear mind, a joyous, happy mind. Mind is God, all acting, all wise, all loving, all knowing, all seeing. Divine mind is enthroned in my consciousness. Mortal mind and matter and personal sense are not enthroned. Ignorance and apathy and materiality are not enthroned in my consciousness. Good is my mind, and my mind is good. Mind is my God, and my mind is good. Divine mind is enthroned. This is the Word of God. We have to change the subjective thinking we have of these seven names from personal sense to spiritual sense, and see ourselves and others as spiritual individualities, not personalities. This way is the only way. It is the way the Bible characters walked with God and ascended. Amen. It is 25:06:21 at 06:12. The end.